I think this is great music for what we're about to talk about today.
I think so too.
Because it kind of reminds me of like a really rowdy party.
Ah, yes, it would be something you would have at a rowdy party.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a tailgate party. This is something that like the Raiders fans listen to.
Why the Raiders fans?
Because Raider fans wear like the football pads with the spikes.
Oh, yeah, like they're Mad Maxing it out there.
Yeah, and they listen to Metallica and they like love metal. And I don't know about Vegas Raider fans, but I know like the old school LA Raider, Oakland Raider fans.
Ah.
The Vegas Raider fans probably, they might not be as rowdy. But they're known historically to be a rowdy franchise. So I wonder if we can get the Raiders to pick this up.
But they'd have to buy it from us.
Yeah, I'm not giving it to you. I don't care who you are.
No, they'd have to buy it.
Mark Davis, I'm calling you out, buddy.
I want that Raider money.
The Raider money?
Yep. I got a house to pay for. I need that Raider money, man.
So, welcome everybody. Law and Disorder, episode 113. 113.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get too far into it, let's take a shout out to the sponsors. Thank you to Wayspace Audio for the heavy banging, head banging music.
Mm-hmm.
And Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish and Google product needs.
Thanks, guys.
And we're here and we're talking spring break.
We are. It is that time of year. You know, the first day of spring is coming. I know Easter is early this year, so we're all kind of trying to get all our stuff done before then. It's tax season. Everyone needs to do their taxes. There's a lot going on, but I think, yeah, one thing that always comes to mind this time of year, I think for most people, other than Easter, is spring break.
Spring break, the time-honored tradition of just having time off and getting drunk, I guess. I mean, is there really a whole lot more that goes on?
Traveling and, yeah, getting drunk.
Yeah, I don't know. It's almost like a cleansing because you've been cooped up all winter. And, you know, you've been cooped up, you've been wearing beanies and like gloves and, you know, shoes and boots. And now you get to like, especially if you go somewhere nice, you get to get your feet done, your hair did, you know, you like, they kind of get the winter off of you, the winter grime off of you.
See, that's something I always thought was so confusing is that it's still winter during spring break, or, you know, it's at the very end of winter, beginning of spring. It's still cold in most of the country. Now, yeah. I know there are the destinations we'll talk about that you go to get away from the cold, but it is cold. Like, it is not warm enough to go swimming.
No.
It is not warm enough to, like, go boating any of that.
I think it kind of...
It's like a pre-summer.
I think the analogy that I would give, you know how it would be like spring cleaning for a person as opposed to cleaning your house and like, like, you know, like decluttering and all that. It's kind of like spring break for a person, or like a spring cleaning for the person. It's like, I'm going to start like.
Get you out of that seasonal depression.
Yes. Cause winter gets you, man, it's fun during the holidays. It's real fun. It's real magical, blah, blah, blah. But then once you get into January and February, it's just dark and it's cold and there's nothing to keep you excited. Like, you don't have the Christmas lights and the dinners and, you know, family and all that. It's like that time of year, you're just kind of like, blah.
I think for a lot of people, yeah.
So I think spring break is like, it's kind of cracking that door open to kind of wake up a little bit. You know, because you do get, the days get longer. You know, slowly, you start getting a little bit sunnier days slowly, not overnight, you know, but you notice like you have a little bit more pep in your step. So I would say spring break is kind of a celebration of that for some people.
A lot of people too, like I always associate spring break with like kids in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like, oh yeah, they've been at school. They've been working so hard. I'm like, they've been at school for like 8 weeks. We just had Christmas and New Year's. They've literally been in school for 8 to 9 weeks maybe, and then they take another vacation, and then they come back, and then they have what, another 8 or 9 weeks, and then school's
vacation.
Over
and then they have a summer vacation for like months.
Summer, yeah.
So There's not a lot of history on spring break, but we do have a little bit of history. What do you got for us as far as the word we've been using lately is tails.
Tails, because you know I don't have like hard concrete facts to back this up, but this is what happened, so they kind of just associate what I'm about to say.
It's like an urban legend.
Yeah. So the concept of spring break allegedly began in 1938 with a swim forum event that was held in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And then by around 1960, though, students had begun to come to this event in this town in big numbers, like lots and lots of students. So the businesses, local businesses around Fort Lauderdale, would take advantage of all these people coming in and offer them specials while they were there for like food and drink. So they had one special that was all you can drink beer for $1.50.
What?
Granted, this was 1960. So maybe back then that was the equivalent of like $10, but still $10 for all you can drink beer.
Gosh, I wish.
I would pay $30 for all I could drink beer.
I'm gonna pay 40.
For good beer. Like, I'd pay 30 for domestic, 40 for imported.
And they would kick me out and never allow me to come back.
And because of all these people there and all the drinking and the specials, the town eventually gained the nickname Fort Lickerdale.
Fort Lickerdale.
And became the primary destination for students interested in partying during spring break for years to come.
And it's still a thing. It's still a destination. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing with spring break is that over time, you know, it's slowly expanded out. You know, Florida, obviously, because it's warm. That's probably how Fort Lauderdale got there. And then, you know, all Miami and all the stuff down there in Florida. Cali, because obviously California has really nice weather almost year-round in Southern California. Here in Texas, we get it in South Padre Island. South Padre is like our southernmost point in Texas. So that little island gets pretty busy on a spring break. And it's just a time, like now, I mean, it's like a college thing and like a high school thing. But then, you know, college kids and high school kids grow up to become adults. But some of us just still have that mentality.
The party.
Like, hey, it's spring break. I'm taking this time. I'm going to go do this for spring break. You know, and so spring break is kind of staggered. It's not always just 1 week. It's probably like 3 weeks in March. Depending on what school you go to and all that, it's staggered over 2 or 3 weeks. But during March, you have all kinds of cool stuff that goes on too. So you have March Madness, mm-hmm. NCAA tournament. That's a party time to begin with. And if you have spring break mixed in there, big party. You have St. Patrick's Day. Sometimes that thing falls smack dab like in the middle of the partying of spring break. You know, you got spring training for baseball. A lot of people like to go watch, like, you know, their favorite team get, you know, in spring training. And most of them practice in warm environments. So Florida and California and all that. So, you know, there's a lot of things to go do. And then there's still people that like to go skiing. Because, like you said, it's still winter. In most parts of the country, it's still winter. Like actual
that's
real
like
winter.
That's like the last great ski time. And then it gets too warm.
Yeah.
It's like their last chance to go ski.
You know, and it's kind of one of those things that it kind of resets itself because, you know, like me, for example, I have a kid, you know, he's 10. So when I didn't have Andrew, it was just whatever, you know, just another week. And then as you get older and you have kids, it's like, oh, he's off for that week. Well, yeah, I want to go do something. Maybe I want to take the week off too. And then, you know, we end up doing stuff like that. So it is a time where you, kind of just let's reset and get away.
I get that. I will shamefully say, I don't know if shamefully is the right word, but I never did like the big spring break party trip. I never went to Panama City. I never went to South Padre. I never went to Cancun. I never did the big actual like party spring break scene because I, every spring break, went home to go work. So that was my fun spring breaks. But I had lots of friends that would go. I will say after college, you know, and I did not have the children's. I still do not have the children's. But I do want to say that if me and my boyfriend at the time, my husband now, were like, oh, we want to go on a trip, we normally would go in like March. Mm-hmm. Because other places, other than like, you know, the big party cities, it's a great time to travel. So, for example, I know one March a few years ago, right before COVID, we went to New York and we like went to Manhattan and did all the touristy stuff, Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, all that, because I'd never been before. And it was great. Now, it was still pretty cold, I want to say, and windy. So, like, I couldn't wear dresses or shorts or anything. I still had to wear my jacket and boots and all that. But it wasn't crowded. There are no tourists there. It was just normal New York people. We had no trouble getting a hotel, no trouble getting a flight, no flight delays, no bad weather. It's not snowing there anymore. It's dry. I don't even think it rained while we were there. And I think it's a great time to travel any other place. Like maybe, I don't know, maybe that is a good time to go to like, maybe not South California, but maybe like Northern California, you know, typical American touristy places is a great time to go. Bad weather's over, good weather's coming. Yeah, that's how I think of it.
So we went to, I think 2 years ago, we went to Corpus Christi, Texas, which is another coastal town south, not as popular as Padre, but still very popular. And we went during spring break, and we went to like a family style resort. God, that was a horrible mistake.
Oh,
just
yeah.
So many people. I mean, it's not even so many people. It's so many kids. It's just full of people, full of families. It's like congested. And I mean, granted, this place is designed for families. But it's like, oh, there's so many of you. There's way too many of you. I don't know if I would do that again. I don't know if I would want to do a family resort like that on a family like type of holiday. Because it's just so many dang people.
No, you got to go somewhere that's not like a standard.
Yeah, I don't think you want to go to Disney World or something.
Oh, no.
Or Universal. I think you have to go something unorthodox, like a little out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Let me think about my spring breaks now. Oh, gosh. Well, since COVID, we haven't done any big far traveling. But no, I don't think about spring break, honestly, in my life now, unless we're going to go on a trip. So for me, this is going to be a very, I have to go to a wedding. A friend of mine's getting married. So that's my big spring break plan.
Yeah. And it's not a holiday. Like you don't get days off for spring break. You know,
if anything, I'm going to party more and celebrate St. Patrick's Day more than I'm going to celebrate spring break.
Now, here's the thing I don't understand about spring breakers. Like, where do these kids get all this money from? Because some of these, I mean, in the old days, they drive to Florida. Or, you know, Padre, whatever. And then at some point in, like, the last 20, 25 years, Cancun became a very big destination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an adult, and I still find Cancun very expensive. So, how do these kids get to Cancun?
You'd be surprised. I've been to Cancun a couple times now. I went to Cancun for my honeymoon because I wanted to go to Hawaii and I could not afford Hawaii. Cancun was way more affordable.
But it's still expensive.
I mean, yeah, depending on like how long you're there and where you stay. So like the flight wasn't too big a deal, at least from Texas. It's not a big deal from here. Our hotel was a little expensive, but you have to remember our hotel was all inclusive. Food included, alcohol included, entertainment included.
Well, and I guess that's the thing to consider too, is that it is included, but there's different tiers of resorts.
Yes.
So like they all might be all inclusive, but I guess if you're a 19-year-old kid, you're like, oh, it's $300 for all I can drink, all I can eat. I'm here. They don't care about the amenities or lack thereof. It could be like a Motel 6 on a beach.
Yeah.
And as long as they get all their meals and all their alcohol, they're like, whatever.
And what blows my mind is how they get the money in the first place. Because it's either mommy and daddy give them money, right? Or if they have like a part-time job in school and they make, you know, let's say they have an extra $1,000 or whatever, they're spending all that on spring break.
That 1 week.
And I'm like, I like drinking as much as the next person and having fun, but I can do that here in town. I don't need to go to a place and do it for 4 days straight. I can save my money. Like, you worked hard for that money and you just want to, you're going to throw it all. I don't know. To me, it's throwing it all away.
Well, and again, spring break is more of a week for like high school, but particularly college kids, because those college campuses, like, they're empty. They're ghost towns that week. Mm-hmm. Unless you're somebody that lives on campus that goes to work and, you know, you're using it to like, oh, I just want to relax. I haven't been able to go to the library because it's always busy. I'm going to go to the library this week and study. I haven't been able to go to the gym because it's been too busy. I'm going to go because I know nobody's here. Whatever. But in general, colleges are kind of ghost towns during that week. These kids scatter and they want to be anywhere but there.
Yeah, I think they just finished midterms. I believe most of them have their midterms right before spring break. So yeah, I get the fact that you want to relax. You want to have fun. But man, some of them just, whew. I guess it's the experience, and you can't put a price on an experience, you know?
I mean, you can. You can.
To me. Okay, let's just say I spent the money and I went to one of these places for spring break. How much am I actually going to remember? Because if I'm drinking as much as I think I'm going to drink, or as much as all these other people are drinking, how much are they going to remember? And then you're going to get sick. So you're paying all this money to get sick and not remember stuff. And then you're going to come home feeling like crap because you're going to be so hungover.
You're going to feel like crap and you're going to be broke. And then you get to go back to class on Monday.
Yeah.
Unless you don't go back till Tuesday or Wednesday because you're too drunk, hungover.
Yeah, and the weather's probably still kind of cold where you live. And
I mean, you could have just stayed at campus and just drank and saved probably $800. You know, $700.
Mm-hmm.
You drank $200-$300 worth of beer in that week. I don't know. So here's an interesting thing, a device that supposedly was invented during spring break.
A device?
Yeah, the beer bong.
The beer bong.
You know what a beer bong is?
The thing with the funnel.
Yeah, it's a funnel with a big hose, and you pour the beer in the top of the funnel, and it comes down, and I'm doing the visuals. It's like you're drinking it from the little hose thing. So, according to, this is beerbong.com.
Oh, such an official source.
It was constructed by partygoers in the late 1970s and spread like wildfire in the 1980s. No one knows who was the genius behind this device, but whoever you are, we salute you. It involves a large funnel connected to tubing. Beers are poured in the funnel, and the user drinks the beer. We'll go down the tubing, and they drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. So I've got a guy I used to work with. He's probably in his maybe mid-50s now. And he told me many years ago, I worked with him like 15 years ago, and we were down in South Padre Island, not for spring break, but we were down there to have fun. And he told us and our friends that were there, he's like, I invented the beer bong. And he's like, I was at spring break and I went to a hardware store. And like him and a buddy went to the hardware store and came up with this idea of a way to drink beer faster. And I'm like, no, you didn't. And he's like, yeah, I did. And he swore up and down that he invented the beer bong.
Okay, let's do some math, right? So you said he's in like his mid-50s?
He's early to mid-50s.
Okay. So let's just say, so according to that website, it said the beer bong was invented in the 70s.
70s, 80s.
Let's pretend your uncle was born in 1970, because that would make him 54.
Mm-hmm.
53, about to turn 54 now. So that means from 19, he would have been 18 in 1988. He would have been 21 in 1991.
I just thought it was funny that was like his claim to fame. He invented the beer bong.
It was invented either before he was born or while he was like a child.
But the beer bong, that is very rampant at spring break. If you watch anything, videos,
oh, yeah,
or whatever,
oh,
yeah, break, the beer bong, the keg stand, beer pong, it, a lot of it involves beer. Why? Because it's cheap, you know? Sometimes you'll get into you know, shots and stuff, but for the most part, college kids drink beer because it's cheap. And when it comes out of a keg, it all kind of tastes the same. There's not really there's not really a different like level of beer. Like really cheap beer and cheap beer taste the same. Now, if you're looking at really cheap beer and a premium beer, yes, you will taste the difference. But for the most part, out of a tap, it all kind of tastes the same. And once you're so many beers in, it doesn't really matter.
Nope.
You know?
Give them the Keystone.
You can start off with like a Modelo or a Corona. And once you drink four or five of those, maybe more, depending on your what you can handle. But, you know, once you get to that next number, that next level, you just keep them coming. Just keep them coming.
Especially if someone's just handing it to you, you drink it.
But when you're drinking it out of a funnel or you're shotgunning that beer, that's like getting into your mouth and down your throat as quickly as possible. You don't taste it anyways. When the whole purpose is just to get it into your system, you don't have time to taste it. You really don't. All it's doing, I mean, because in order for a funnel to be effective, I mean, you don't put the funnel, I'm doing the visual here, but you don't put the funnel in your mouth and you just like drink it, like slurp it. You just like open your throat and it's like, that's the only way really to say it. I mean, you don't have any time to taste that beer. You're just hoping you don't choke.
I can't do funnels. I chugged a beer once because we were just having a chugging contest, like a single beer, like one glass of beer. I just had to drink it as fast as possible and I won. But then I think about after 20 seconds, I had to go throw it up, not because I was drunk, but because the beer didn't go all the way down to my stomach. It got caught like in the middle and it was stuck and it hurt.
It's almost like it's drowning you.
My body was like, nope, you're not taking this. And it forced it up. Like it forced me to throw it up. What I just drank.
It's like you're dry drowning.
Kind of.
You're doing that thing when you drink water in the ocean and it just like gets stuck right here. And if it's got to come up, if not, it's just going to kill you.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like. And that was just me chugging one glass. I couldn't, and I don't know how much they're pouring in said funnel. If it's a whole can, I'm assuming it's about a can's worth. But no, maybe I could do it, but it's probably immediately coming back up for me.
I've never had a beer from a funnel. I've watched it, but I've never done a keg stand. I've never shotgunned a beer, I don't think.
I shotgun a beer. That's a way easier than just drinking it from a glass.
But I think the only thing I've done is from a glass or a bottle or can, but I don't think I've ever actually I've just seen enough people do it to where I'm like, that doesn't look good. It doesn't look safe.
I did it once. I wouldn't do it again. I don't know. It just makes my tummy hurt. Maybe it's because I'm older. But yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the kind of people that are at spring break. Because we mentioned spring break is for school kids, right? High school, but predominantly college kids, right? Because high school kids, they're not drinking at South Padre Island unless someone sneaks them there, which I think they have pretty tight security at those things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of high school kids are probably on like family trips, right?
Yeah, that's safe to say.
Yeah, yeah. So in my opinion, most spring breakers are going to be college kids or recently graduated college kids.
I would say that's accurate.
But what would you say is the appropriate amount of times to go to a spring break like that, even when you're graduated? Because now, granted, people go to college at different times in their lives, right? Like you're middle-aged and you finally have the opportunity to go to college. That's great. Good for you. But I'm talking about the people that went to college right after high school. And so they're like 21, 22 years old. They graduate. How many more times should you be going? Because eventually, to me, you need to get a life and not go anymore.
Eventually, it's kind of creepy.
Yes. Like all these 21, 22-year-old kids, I'm going to call them kids, are on spring break. And then there's what, like a 32-year-old just there? Like, yeah, I'm an alumni. Class of 08. What?
Well, I think it's kind of the same thing like when you go to college football games and you've graduated. You guys go to college football games now that you've graduated and you guys are 30, you know, 31 or 31. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure the way you guys go to games now is different than the way you used to go to games like a year or two after you graduated college. you know, a year or two after you graduate college, you're still going to the same college bars, you're tailgating, you're doing all that stuff. And as you get older, yeah, you still might tailgate and you might go to the game, but you might not go to the same college bar you would have gone to. Maybe you go to something a little bit more nicer. You know, you're not around all that as much. And as you continue to get older, you kind of, you still do, like, I'm still going to go to the game, I'm still going to tailgate, but I don't do all the extracurricular stuff that the college kids would do. And I think that's the same thing about spring break, is that at some point, you have to kind of wean away from that. It's not cool anymore because you're 40 and you know, you graduated 15 years ago and you're still coming to the, you know, you're still coming to spring break. You're still staying at the cheap hotel. You're still, you know,
hitting on all the college.
Yeah.
Girls.
It's like, if you want to go to spring break and go to Padre or Cabo or whatever, great. But like, don't go and go stay at the same places they go to. Like there's people your age that are partying the same way. You know, there's people that are spring breaking the adult way. They're staying at the nicer resort, eating nicer things, drinking nicer drinks. They're not drinking the 30 pack of Keystone anymore. So I don't know what age that is. I mean, I would say like 30-ish, like early 30s, but I don't know. Everybody's teach their own.
Yeah. For me personally, it's however many years you went to college is how many years it's appropriate after you graduate to go. So if you went to college for 4 years, I think it's appropriate for you to go and hang out with that crowd for 4 years after you graduate. But then after that, I think, yeah, you need to start wean away from that a little bit.
And realistically, that's reasons why places like Cancun have different resorts. Mm-hmm. That's reasons why Vegas has different kinds of resorts. Is like, you can go party it up, but it's not as weird and as creepy when they're all your age. You know? Like, if you're staying at the Flamingo, you know, where it's a little bit cheaper, it's more economical to stay at the Flamingo than if you're staying at the Aria. You know? Go stay at the Aria. Those people are more established. They're enjoying spring break too, but they're enjoying it a little bit more sophisticated way.
And it's probably less crowded. Because as I've gotten older, I enjoy the less crowded places.
Yes.
These spring break places, how many thousands of kids are there? And after COVID and everything, I would just feel icky. Like, don't touch me. I'm not drinking out of that. Go away. You're in my space. I prefer the smaller crowd.
Well, and the thing is that when you're young and you're drunk and you're just partying and you're hitting on girls or guys, that's all you're doing. You're just having fun. As you get older, you really do think about it more and you get more annoyed by it. Mm-hmm. You get annoyed by people, but you really think about it. You were always annoyed by it, but you didn't really think about it when you were younger. But as you get older, you really like think about like you walk up to that bar and you're like, man, there's way too many people. I'm not even going to attempt it. You know, when you were younger, you would go in there and you're like, the line's too long to go to the bathroom. Line's too long to get a drink. I'll be all right. I'm going to talk to that girl, whatever. But when you get older, you think you're proactive about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I couldn't do it now. You throw me in spring break now, I'd get into a fight with somebody. I just can't handle it. I can't handle people that much.
I turn around and walk away.
Yeah, you avoid conflict.
Mm-hmm. I want the smaller party. I want less people. And I want to, I guess in a way, stretch my dollar more. Because yeah, exactly. If I was going to go to a bar and spend my money, I want to be able to get a drink when I want, whenever I want. And if the bar is super, super crowded, I might have to wait.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't got time to wait.
I don't want to wait.
No. I want a drink now.
I want to have a drink now, and it ruins it for me. It ruins the experience for me, because then I start bitching and grapping about everything else I don't like about this place, and it kills my buzz.
And as I've gotten older, I have worked a lot. I've worked my way up. I have worked really hard for the money that I have. And so if I'm going to spend my money, I want a good experience.
Yes.
You know? When I was a kid and I was that age, yes, I worked hard for my money, but not as hard as I think I've worked now. And so I didn't expect much. Like, I never had that super nice experience before. I've never had luxury anything. So if I could get a room or a plane ticket or just a cheap drink, I took it. Because to me, that was great. But now I've experienced better.
Yes.
Because I feel like I've earned it. I've worked hard for it. And now it's kind of set an expectation for me. Not that I'm not willing to drink the cheap stuff. I totally am and save money. But if I can afford a higher quality, that's what I want. And I want the experience that goes along with it.
But that's what it comes down to. Once you've tasted it once.
Yep.
You're like, it's hard to go back. Because you're like, oh man, that was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I gotta figure out how to get back there. How do I have the same experience again? That's what it comes down to. Once you taste it, it's hard to go backwards.
And that probably works the other way with like people that religiously go to these places every year for spring break. They tasted that party life once and they want to do it again. You know, they keep going back.
Yeah, but I guarantee you if they went to a nicer resort or a nicer hotel, they might be like, man, I don't want to stay at that crap hole we stay at every year. I thought I did, and then I got introduced to this, and now I don't want to go back to that one. I want to go stay at this resort. And then that's when you kind of start separating yourself from people.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll have those friends that are like, I'm gonna come here because it's cheap, blah, blah blah. It's like, you can stay here all you want. I'm gonna go over here because it's nicer, alcohol's nicer, the people are nicer, like the view's nicer, everything is nicer, the beach, all beaches are not the same, you know. As you get older, you start figuring out stuff. Like, going to the beach is fun, but then you realize, like, oh, there's nicer beaches? Oh, there's nicer water? There's nicer sand? Not all sand is the same, you know? So it's like the whole ambiance, mm-hmm. The whole experience. And I think that's, you know, it's just a part of growing up. I mean, I think spring break is kind of a rite of passage. But, you know, it's just like anything else. At some point, you grow out of it.
Yeah, I don't know anybody now, all my friends that are my age, that are like, yeah, I want to go to South Padre. I'd be like, ew. Why? Did you hit your head? Are you okay? Like, are you going for another reason? Are you staying with family? No? You're just going to go party? Ooh, this one's so fun for you.
Now I'm like, I'm going to go to Great Wolf Lodge with my 10-year-old. I hope they have alcohol there. You know, it's like, that's it. That's the extent of spring break. We're going to go to Six Flags. We're going to go to Great Wolf Lodge. We're going to go to something like that.
Six Flags actually sounds really fun. I have not been to Six Flags in a hot minute.
Six Flags is awesome. I have a season pass. I highly recommend it. But I do not recommend going that week of spring break.
Oh, no.
You will hate people. You will hate people for the rest of your life. That place gets packed.
It does. It does.
But I do recommend it. But, you know, like I said, spring break, it, to me, is like spring cleaning for people. Like spring cleaning for your soul. You cleanse. You kind of, like I said, you kind of shed off the winter, what was it you called it?
The seasonal depression.
The seasonal depression. And you're starting to get, like, you're starting to liven back up for the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the first 2 months you're on autopilot.
Yeah, you're studying, you're working, you're taking your midterms, and you're working hard, right? And everyone deserves a break. Everyone deserves a treat. Everyone deserves to have fun and relax. And I get it. I like that aspect of it.
This kind of tells you how short, like, how quickly time flies.
Yep.
We're talking spring break right now. In like 8 more weeks, we'll be talking summer vacations. And then after that, we'll be talking back to school. And then we'll be talking holidays.
It flies by.
That's how quickly it flies by. The older we get, the quicker it flies by. Just wanted to point that out to you.
Life is short.
Life is short. Go to spring break.
Life is short. Take the trip. Buy the shoes, girl. Have the drink. Do what you gotta do.
Buy the shoes.
Yeah, buy the shoes.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up spring break talk.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's got me all excited to like...
I mean, I kind of want to throw a party at my house now.
No, I don't want anybody at my house.
I'll have people at my house, but that's all I want. And just the people I invite. You're not invited, obviously.
I'm just excited to have a drink. I'm just excited to go have a drink. I'm not like ready to go hang out with people. I'm fine by myself.
That's nice.
Okay. I don't want to come anyways.
I knew you wouldn't show up.
No, I wasn't invited. I didn't think I'd be invited, so I didn't want to show up.
Okay. I'm just kidding. You're always invited.
That'd be so awkward if I showed up. You'd be like, oh. Then you have to introduce me to people that don't know me.
This is Sergio, everybody. You can listen to him online.
He does a podcast with me.
He sells cars. If you need a car, go to him.
That would be an awkward conversation. This is Sergio. He does a podcast with me. Oh, you do a podcast, Caitlin? Yes, I've done it. You say it like all shameful. Yes, I've done it for the last 4 years with him.
Been putting up with him for so long.
I know. Like, Harrison, what's your thought on it? I've been trying to get her to quit for years. She's a glutton for punishment. You know.
Well, end on that note.
Yeah. So let's take a shout out to the sponsors. Thanks to Wavespace Audio for the music. Thanks to Young Ideas Dish. Hit them up for all of your Dish and Google product needs. Cellular too.
Thanks, guys.
So on behalf of myself and Miss Caitlin,
hey.
We are Law and Disorder, and we will holler at you guys next time.
Bye.
Laters.